Ephesians 2 and verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, when I'm speaking to people, which I seldom do, that really want to be saved, I like to leave them alone. But I will ask them to do what I try to do myself. Do not read the verse from memory. Read it as if you have never read it before. So we'll read it that way. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Though had I taken the time to go back to the beginning of the chapter, the apostle describes these people, like you in the meeting tonight, before they were saved, and he goes down a list and he tells them that they were dead. They were just dead. He said they were disobedient. He said you were deluded and you were deceived. You were defiled and you were doomed. He goes down through that. And I like to point out sometimes before he gets to verse number 8, it's almost like he can't wait at the end of verse 5. He says, by grace are ye saved. By grace are ye saved. So think of the text tonight. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I will try and preach it like I've never preached it before. I want you to listen like you've never heard it before. I likely from this platform in the 50 years that I've been coming to this conference told people that, you know, when it comes to a gift, nobody has a problem with a gift. Sorry, I've changed my mind. They do. People do have a problem with a gift. The reason that you're not saved tonight, I don't even know your first name, doesn't matter. And if I did, the reason you are not saved is you have, to this point, never received the gift. I checked with Brother McLeod, Scott McLeod and I were having meetings in Amherst. There was a young family, he was a manager of the Enterprise. I tried the hardest to get him and his wife out to tent meetings, tried to get their children to the children's meetings in the morning, but to no avail. I hadn't done it before, but this time I did. I went and got $35 gift certificate from McDonald's. Now, 20 years ago, that bought you a lot more than it does today. So it's a nice gift card, and I mailed it to them. Well, so what? The kids can enjoy some McDonald's. Likely 10 days later, I get a letter, my letter in the mail, and you know what it said on it? Return to sender. They'd carefully taken a knife, opened the end of the envelope, saw what it was, read it, shoved it back in, returned to sender. My dear, that is exactly what you've done with the gospel. That's why you're not saved tonight. Every gospel meeting, God comes out to you with a gift and extends it to you, free for the taking, nothing to pay. But you will do, in a very polite way it might be, return to sender. I can't say that really hurt me, but it did bother me that I went to that effort. So you think I did that again? No. Only did it once. How many times has God come out to you with the gift and you said, no, not just now? Don't like to tell stories on my father either, but he wasn't too big on Christmas. Just let me say that. And when we went back to school after the holidays, our one-room school teacher used to ask the kids, so what'd you get for Christmas? Oh, they'd list off the gifts. And she did it on purpose, the rascal. And Murray, she said, what'd you get? I said, nothing. Are you going to get anything? Yeah. My dad said, going to get it the new year when they're on sale. Go down to Tim. What'd you get, Tim? Nothing. Same old story. You know what that was? That was a delayed gift. God does not come out to you in salvation with a delayed gift and says, you can have it next Wednesday. God has a parameter of time and it's now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Another AME, that's an aircraft mechanic engineer, did a lot of work for me, good guy, in St. John, New Brunswick. Sent him a Christmas card. I don't send out Christmas cards, but I did to him with a track in it. $100. I waited, met him, talked to him, didn't hint at it. You know, he never said thanks. Never said thanks. So finally, I was going to say I get up the courage, but that didn't take long. I said to him, hey, Art, did you get my Christmas card? Oh, yeah. Oh, and the $100. I said, yeah. Do you think I ever did it again? No, no. I speak for every Christian in this building here tonight. Hardly would a day pass. We regret that it did. We didn't thank God for the gift of salvation. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Let me ask you tonight. You big enough to thank God for a gift? You know what I mean? Some of you from the Labrador know Big Lewis Barney. He was a character. Before he got saved, great big fella. He could put me down with one hand and bury me with the other. I used to go down to his shop where he sold snowmobiles, and we'd have coffee together. We'd get talking and went over a lot of things. Remember one time said to him, fella just bought a snow machine, and he gave him a manual. And at that time, somebody from up there, you know, got into quite an issue about men that were too proud to carry a Bible to meeting. So he had this little New Testament. And sure enough, we'd read, if it was there, he'd be down there. So I said to him, Barney, ever gave a man a half a manual? What do you mean a half a manual? Well, I says, it's like the New Testament. It's got the Old Testament. Why don't you be a big man and bring your Bible? Do I have to? No, you don't have to. Start bringing his Bible. Dear Dot Barney, I'm glad she's not in the audience tonight. She'll likely maybe hear this online. She had the bakery in her house, and she said, whatever you want to take to Lewis, take it. Have your coffee with him. You just go down coffee and take muffins, whatever it was. Just help yourself to the bakery, take it down to Lewis. Lewis is sitting there one day, and he's eating his muffin or whatever it was. Boy, he says, these are good. I says, Lewis, why don't you thank Dot tonight for her muffin? She knows I like her muffins. Oh, is that so? Listen, I said, if you're not big enough to thank a woman for a muffin, you're not big enough to thank God for his son, and you'll die and you'll go to hell. Dark that night, John remembers those meetings, John Procopio. Lewis had a big, deep voice, a little cavalier, some little car, and he's sitting there. Dot, she's walking from her house over to the meeting. He had the window down. He roared out, Dot. She said, it near scared me out of my skin. I said, Lewis, thanks for the muffin. She says, you're welcome, you're welcome. So when we got home that night, I was staying with him. She said, what'd you do to Lewis? I said, not a thing. She says, Lewis doesn't thank anybody for anything. I said, he did tonight. Yeah, he did. Can I tell you tonight? That man got saved within a week. On his knees in a little bathroom that he couldn't swing a cat around in. Got on his knees and begged God to save him. What did he do? Received the gift. He received the gift. So God comes out and says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you were to do anything for it, friend, it would cease to be a gift. At our house, we used to bring in wood. Some of you kids know that. And that Alan and Tim, I used to say, you bring the wood in, and I'll bring you something home. Of course, Sarah, she was the baby of the family. She'd have to bring a twig in. So we'd bring home. I'd come home, and so I'd say, Mom, boys bring in the wood? Oh, yeah, no. Did you help them? Well, yeah, kind of, Dad. I said, you brought the wood in. They likely didn't bring much in. If they bought one piece of wood into that house, it would cease to be a gift what I gave them. It would. But for the girl that did absolutely nothing, it was a gift. What's your choice tonight? Seriously, that's why you're not saved. Too proud, is it? Would it really be that? You're too proud to acknowledge and receive a gift? Big enough boy to drop to your knees and thank God for the gift of his son? Oh my, there's nothing like it. Nothing like salvation. And the design of God in salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I was thinking, sitting here, if I did a litmus, just a test, okay? Just think me through for a minute. Maybe it's a weak illustration. Suppose we piled boxes of gifts, all the same size, back in the corner of this gymnasium. On those boxes were names that could be yours. With me, one box would say lost. Another box would say deceived. Another box would say sinner. And everywhere you look, that's what it said. So you're going to pick it up? Well, on one side of that box would be a same word on every gift. You know what it would say? Grace. Grace. I thank God for his grace tonight. I want to tell you, the closer I get to people call me Mr. McCandless, I say, no, he's in heaven. I'm on my way, not far behind him. But may the day never dawn when these two knees don't hit the floor as they do at our home, morning and night, my wife and I. Thank God that he ever saved us. Thank God that our parents are in heaven, both sides, Alan and Ruth and Howard and Joyce, safe in the glory. We're on the way, not too far behind them. Saved, oh, by grace, unmerited favor. So come back to the illustration of the boxes. In a real life situation, would you be the first to go get it? You. Or would you wait and see what your friend would do? That's why people don't get saved. They're sometimes waiting to see what their friend's going to do. Then they're going to, no, my friend. Salvation will come that ultra important. You don't care who looks, who sees you. You go for it. I haven't asked his permission tonight, but Sterling Bolter, I understand if I got the story, I heard it many times when Peter Orszag was speaking to children, and he held out, I think, a loonie, and that was a lot of money back then, and he said it was for whosoever. Kids all looked at each other. Whosoever. Finally, one started out of his chair, stopped, came up, he took it, went, sit down. And Sterling took another one. I think there was two out of, how many kids were there? 25, 30 kids that went up. He had enough in his pocket for one for every kid. Listen, my friend, you could never exhaust. God will never come and say to you sitting in this gospel meeting here in the Bluefield High School, sorry, it's all been spent. Sorry, somebody else has taken it. Not at all, my friend. It's a gift that God is coming out to you. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, not your works. I know that, and I wouldn't argue with it, when people are told from a platform, trust in the finished work. Believe in the finished work. Let me tell you something better than that. You trust the one that finished the work. That's the help. You trust Christ. You just take God at his word and you accept it. You don't take it out and take it apart. You just accept it. What else would you do? Seriously, what else would you do? Oh, go play with it? No. You'd go and you'd thank the giver. You would. There's something inside that you'll go and thank God for what he has given. So I love the verses in the Bible, not linking them or going, they all start with the word for. For by grace. In other words, you take the word grace out of there, the verse is telling us nothing. Really, it isn't. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Marvelous tonight to think a person doesn't have to work their way to heaven. How would you know when you've done enough works? How would you know when you've done enough penance or repentance or whatever it might be? Mind you, the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But why wouldn't you tonight, before, older lady tonight, respectfully, can I speak to you? Not saved? Why wouldn't you accept this gift before you walk out those doors? Not asking you to put your hand up. Not asking you to say a prayer. Not asking you to do anything, but simply accept the gift. So he says, the Lord Jesus did not come to make bad people good people. He came to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. I love to tell, you've heard me tell people, my name is rather long, and I like to shorten it up and spell it L-O-S too. I was going to do it with a fellow the other day who was having some guy's talking likely in China or somewhere. He's having it with my name, spelling my name. I thought, what would he say if I said to him, well, here's how it really spells, L-O-S-T. Thank God. Lost. Oh, that night it became so precious to me to realize I didn't care if there's another lost person on the globe or in the world. I knew I was lost. I was trying to, just like you, trying to figure it out, trying to understand it. God doesn't ask you to figure it out. God doesn't ask you to understand it. God asks you to believe it. Just as it a gift. I've had people give me gifts that I didn't know what they gave me the gift for. Later they told me, it's nice to know, maybe had a note inside. God puts the note on the outside. He puts your name on the outside. So here's one tonight. Sinner, there's the gift. So neatly packaged. Sinner, no matter what way you turn it, sinner. But one way you spin it, you look at the back, it says, grace, grace. Wonderful thing. Wasn't Eli Crum? I think he just died not too long ago. He wrote that little hymn that we sing. It was a number of years ago. I guess he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone else to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. You know something? You go to any believer in this meeting here tonight, not one of them will argue or will dispute with you the wonderful gift in salvation. Never, never regret it. Never, never, my friend. Things in our lives we have done, we've regretted it. I have. But not when it comes to salvation. Not when it came to that night when as a guilty, lost sinner in my own bedroom, tracks laying around, yes, Bible was up on the table, and I read that verse as if it was never in the Bible before. For the Son of Man has come. There's your other four. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I thought, well, that's me. That's me. I actually went and got my Bible out to make sure it was there. It was there. I was going to go down and tell my parents what had happened. I knew Dad would have some questions, so I just wanted to be sure about things. But I tell you, I couldn't be more sure. Oh, yeah, wonderful to be saved. Wonderful at this age to be saved and going to heaven. I meet men, lots of them in my age bracket. I have some serious talks with them. You'd think they're going to live forever. You'd think so. It can be so uncertain. We had a lady move into our, they've enlarged the subdivision where we lived with these garden homes. And the boys told me, they said, Joe would know them too. Debway Truck Bodies at St. John. They built put together your Drake body trucks from over here. They said, hey, he's retired. He says he's not with Debbie. That was his wife. That's where the business got the name, Debway Truck Bodies. Why don't you go over see Wayne over there? So I did, went over see Wayne. Oh, Murray, come on in. And he said to me, just walked in. And he said, he didn't call his wife. He just said, here's Janice. I says, oh, nice to meet you, Janice. Got into a conversation and, you know, she pretty well took over the conversation. She could talk. And she says, oh my. She said, thought I was going to the glory. I said, excuse me. You going to the glory? No, she said, we're not going there. I said, you're not going to the glory. No, I'm just not comfortable with that. I said, listen, Janice, whether you're comfortable with it or not, you two in this meeting tonight, you two, my friend, as I speak, you face it. That was last fall. Big fifth wheel. Telling me, nothing wrong with the fifth wheel. Telling me where they're going traveling, camping, Newfoundland, down in the States. To my other neighbor, come across and he said, her name is Stephanie. Did you hear about Stephanie? I said, no, what's Stephanie? She's got cancer. So the girls get together in the fall, make a bunch of apple pies. I took her over an apple pie. Didn't preach to her. Knocked on the door, she came, her head all tidy with a wrap around it because she was losing hair because of the treatment. I said to her, Stephanie, so sorry to hear about your sickness. Just gave her the pie. She thanked me, and I left. Little did she dream. I haven't seen her outside the house since. World turned right upside down. They weren't planning on that. Listen. Do you realize that when we stand here, how many people went to the oncology department today here and in Moncton and in Halifax and in St. John? Do you realize how many people are sitting waiting for the results back from a bone marrow test last week? If you had to face that, maybe you'd face this. Because my friend, listen, I can't imagine. It is absolutely beyond the range of human thinking to die in your sins and go down to hell for the sake of neglecting a gift. Nobody can take it for you. But I want to tell you, I love that verse. It says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, came in a person. And that's the one that reaches out to you, a lost, guilty sinner. No matter how many times you rejected the gospel, no matter how many times you said no to the gift, again he comes. Isn't that kind of God? He didn't know what to speak to me again. Doesn't know what to speak to you again. Some people hear it for the first time, they get saved. Had people that way in meetings we've had, heard it once. Trusted Christ as their Savior, started for heaven. I'm speaking to someone, looking at someone in the meeting, and you've heard it endlessly, just like I did. But let me just caution you tonight. Let me solemnly remind you, you will hear it for the one last time. That gift, above all other gifts, will be offered to you for the last time. And if that last time was tonight, and we hear the solemn news, they're gone. Sitting in our trailer beside the Shediac Gospel Hall last year at this conference, Tyler Gilcox, just coming to my mind, calls me up. He says, Murray, we need help. I said, what help do you need? He said, a policeman ran into us. I said, what? You mean you ran into the policeman? No, no. He turned right in front of me, didn't see us behind him. I said, what did they say? Very little. Did they investigate? Very little. He said, I'll tell you something. That police officer, after the others left, came up to the car, and he looked in, and he saw the children, their mother. So thankful. He said, I'm so thankful none of us were hurt. How quickly it can happen. None of us have that guarantee. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Listen to this beautiful text. I know there's wonderful text. Lofty truths in the epistle of the Ephesians. There is. Ask the theologians. Got one that's more lofty than this? Not there. For by grace, it reaches the heights. It reaches the depths. It reaches the riches. It reaches the poorest. It reaches, no matter where you live, where might it be? It reaches you. And it reaches right into this meeting tonight. God in his kindness, God in the riches of his grace, comes out to you and extends to you salvation and says, take it. One thing God will never do, he'll never force it, dear. He'll never force it. He'll never say to you what I might say to you, what's wrong with you? He'll never say, this is your last time. No, he just presents it. The gift is his son. Who wouldn't want the son? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should perish. Take the gift or suffer the consequences. It's your call, shall we pray. Our Father, we thank thee for reminding us of the importance of counting. And we realize that there are things in life that can't be counted. The loss of a soul cannot be counted, cannot be measured. The unfathomable loss, unthinkable, unbearable in our minds, of one dying from this audience here tonight, from a day that we've enjoyed so much with thy people, missing God's salvation and waking up in hell. Bless thy word, we pray. Thank you for every soul that's been online tonight, listening to us. Thank thee for them. We'd love to get a call that some of them had trusted Christ. Wouldn't be the first time. We give thanks to God for thy Son, the Lord Jesus, the greatest of all gifts, in his precious name, amen.